We're not live. I don't know why that happened.
I was dancing. Okay. All right. It says we are live. So if we are, piss off, America.
Yeah. Whoops. All right. Well, yeah. Hopefully we're not. We're not. But Trey Wallace, Outkick National College Football Reporter. How's it going, buddy? I know this has been one hell of a time for you.
Man, it's good. I mean, like, it's fine. I mean, I'm tired as hell. Did not expect to be covering a spring game on Saturday. Had plans to drive on up to Bristol, hang out with Bubba, watch him go around in a circle 500 times. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's college athletics, brother. Like, whatever. It's here. There's always stuff going on. But this news, like the Nico stuff, and it's all festered over the last 4.5 months and finally hit a boiling point. I don't know. I'm good, man. I mean, shit. House settlement, transfer portal, you know, NIL still going crazy. Like, what else is going
to
happen?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Trey, I needed this. We needed something because they have neutered spring football. It was, like you said, you weren't even going to go to the game. These games are pointless now. They've made it a travesty, in my opinion. But now we got something to talk about.
Like, even like, I think, like, if I'm not mistaken, like, Deion's spring practice is the only one on actual television. Like, so whatever. These guys act like these players are not going to get film out to their agents and let them shop them around. Like, what the hell are you going to, you know, what? It's a spring game on television. Like, come on, man. Whatever.
Right. Well, speaking of all the madness and the agents, so yeah. I mean, you kind of alluded to it there, but this stuff with Nico, it's been going on for a while, but could you ever have imagined it was going to come to this point? Did you see this coming at all?
No, I mean, so it kind of depends. Like, it's been a contentious situation behind the scenes for a while now. And I'm not talking about per se just from like Nico. Okay. Nico went out, did his job in the spring, the winter period, the winter workouts, you know, tried to become a leader and whatnot. You know how it goes. Continue to become a leader for the team. But at the same time, you had everything that went down during the winter portal period. And this is while, you know, Tennessee's prepping for a playoff game in Columbus and all that good jazz. So you had a point where Nico wanted some help around him, obviously. Like, I get that part. You need, you know, Tennessee had like, what, 30 wide receivers enter the portal during the period? Like, you know, like, you needed help. You need to take care of the guys that are still there, like Mike Matthews. Need to get some O-line help, blah, blah, blah. So they got help. Like, you know, Mike Matthews got a new deal thanks to Nico, you know. So You go through that point, and then at the last kind of minute, however, you know, different people have different stories on this thing, but the last minute per se, I'll just use it that way. Nico's camp came back and said, "Hey, by the way, I know you just spent money and got some stuff from the portal and helped out some players right here, but we need some more money too." And then don't forget, like, Tennessee and them dealing with NIL. You know, they also had Ricky Gibson they had to take care of when Jarrod McCoy went down with a little knee problem. Well, Ricky Gibson's people went to him like, "Oh, wait a minute. You need me some help. You need me to stay here, right? Okay, pay me. Okay, all right, we'll take care of you." They got it. So with the Nico stuff, the problem is that when you start shopping your player to other schools, people are going to find out about it. Like, coaching fraternities, and I've tried to make this point to people over the last couple of years, but even the last 5 days. Even though they go against each other, Mike, like, on the recruiting trails, and they will talk shit behind their backs and do all this to get a player, at the same time, there is kind of a code still. And there is a brotherhood. And also, the biggest point of all of this, with NIL, house settlement, everything that's coming, a lot of these coaches are flying blind right now on what to do and what the rules are going to be. So, making my point on this, Nico's camp reached out to the wrong folks because Oregon was prepared and I'm not saying this, what, and I'm not saying Dan Lanning. Okay. I want to make this clear. It's not like Dan Lanning pick up the phone. Hey, Josh, by the way, just want to let you know your quarterback is shopping around. No, it didn't play out like that. But somebody on the staff, maybe from Oregon, picked up the phone, called a buddy they might have had at Tennessee, said, hey, just want to let you know, we got a call. Your quarterback, your starting quarterback's being shopped. Okay. All right, fine. By the way, this happens all in college football. And if people don't act like it doesn't, you're crazy. It happens every day in college athletics. But when you also go through the process of dealing with, you know, you remember all the rumors about Miami and whatnot, you know, with Nico. It turned out that Miami and Tennessee and Nico was kind of a little bit overblown, per se. Because I don't think Miami was like all in on Nico and saying, we're going to give you this and this, this. So when Nico asked more money, Tennessee's like, no, we're good. You got a contract, bro. Like, we were paying you out of high school. You signed a 4-year deal out of high school. So you're getting paid in high school. Okay. You're getting paid your first year at Tennessee, where you sat on the bench behind Joe Milton, getting paid around $2 million for that. Let's not forget the signing bonus and stuff that he received while he was still in high school and flying around on private jets with his dad and his 7-on-7 team and his handler at the same time. And so you got to think about it. That money, his year where he's sitting on the bench, okay, that's already a good buck. And then last year, okay, he makes another $2 million or so, a little bit more, whoever you want to talk to. This would have been his final year of the contract. So, but the plan all along, Mike, was that this was next season, their plan was it's going to be his last at Tennessee in college football. He's going to go test the NFL draft. So this 4-year plan, seemingly they had it worked out. So when you have a bunch of people that are talking in the industry and you got agents, and agents love to talk because it's leverage, stuff gets back. And I think, and I know we'll talk about it, but everything came to a head last week. And when it did, I think that it put Nico's camp in a really bad spot. I can't wait to discuss this, where he decided to go after, you know, a report that came out, which, by the way, it's not like we didn't know that was already going on. It was a shock to the fans, okay? But it wasn't a shock to the folks that have, like, you know, like you've heard this stuff that's been going on since December. Like, you know, it wasn't a shock to us. It was good reporting, but I'm saying it wasn't like a shock. So, like, the fans were the ones caught off guard. Like, oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Contract negotiation? What's this shit? Okay. And then you fast forward to where we were last week, man. And, you know, it goes to hell in a handbasket. And for something that probably could have been done from Tennessee's side and Nico's side before spring practice started. But to me, the fact that we got up to that point last week, I think this was a calculated move by Nico's camp. I don't think he was going to be at Tennessee after spring practice ended. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion in talking with folks.
Yeah. And do you think it's fair to say, because that there's blame all the way around? I mean, I know Nico's made out to be this bad guy now. I think it's more the father than anything, but also, yeah. Hell, just, I mean, you just laid it out perfectly. I mean, Tennessee's been paying this kid since high school, and there's been many other players with their hand out that said, hey, well, I'm going to go jump in the portal. And what does Tennessee do? They say, okay, well, we can't have that. We got to pay you. Right. I'm not saying Tennessee is solely to blame, but I think everyone is responsible here. Is it? Do you think that's a fair statement?
That's a fair assessment. I do, because if you didn't want it to get all crazy, like what we saw, you handle this in December or January. Let's just be honest. Like, we see where the market's at in college athletics right now for quarterbacks. You know, look at Garrett Nussmeier got a new deal. DJ Lagway got a deal. I could go on. Jeremiah Smith, blah, blah, blah. All getting deals, okay? Nico's camp saw it as, okay, well, look at the market, where we're at right now. Look at these other quarterbacks. Bryce Underwood, who, you know, should be a phenom at Michigan. We'll find out, but should be. But at the same time, Tennessee's like, well, wait a minute. You can say you led us to the playoffs, which rightfully he did, technically, as the quarterback. But let's be very clear about something. And I mean this, and I don't want to preface this. Nico is a great kid, in my opinion. He's handled himself well. Nice person on campus. He can be dealt with by the coaching staff. Like, all around, good kid. Got some helicopter parents and handlers that didn't help the situation. Okay, so you get back to everything that's going on. I think that if Tennessee wanted to sign him to a new lucrative contract, they'd have got it done. But what they did was they saw, okay, let's really break the numbers down here. You know, you had most of your passing touchdowns against teams of lower tiers. You had Dylan Sampson as your running back with an offensive line that was pieced together, but by God, they were pieced together and still had the leading rusher in the SEC. So had to be good at something. And then you had a defense that was through the roof. Like, sure, they had one or two games where, you know, you're like, what? But most of the season, that was a top tier defense. Okay. So you go into, you know, the Ohio State game, and, you know, you can't cover Jeremiah Smith if you got four defensive backs just literally riding his coattails for the entire game. It happens. They had a bad night. Tennessee's offense was putrid. So the people at Tennessee are like, wait a minute. And this would be for anybody, by the way. They'd be like, you want me to give you $1.5 million more a year, and we really relied on our defense last year and our running back to get this done, and I can't remember a game where it was just Nico. You know what I mean? And that's not a slight to him. That's just being realistic. And I think next year could have been something different. But what I'm getting at is that you ask for too much money off not enough on the table as proof that you deserve that money. I've said this numerous times over the last week. DJ, and I, again, no slight towards Nico, but DJ Lagway proved more to me in 6 games than Nico did in 13 games. And that's why I think DJ Lagway would deserve the money that he got and deserve to be riding around in a Lamborghini SUV right now on Florida's campus, because I think he has a higher ceiling right now. So, you know, it was just disappointment's not the right year because they went to the damn playoffs. But at the same time, if you're looking at a position specifically, you're like, oh, okay, that didn't live up to the hype this year. So why would we pay him even more when we already have something in place?
Right. I mean, I think two things can be true at once, right, Trey, where I don't think he's earned the money he's been given up to this point by Tennessee, but also if they make the playoff next year with him, then he is worth it. But that's a huge gamble. Is Carson Beck worth whatever Miami's paying him? If they make the playoff, I think he's worth it. If they don't, they didn't. Same thing with the Duke quarterback, Mensah. I mean, on and on and on. Yeah. All these teams are not going to make the playoff. You're rolling the dice that you'll get there. But if you hit the jackpot, I think they're worth every penny.
I don't disagree either, brother. Like, I'm with you. Like, I think that the money situation is, if they'd have came back and asked for like a $600,000 increase, I think Tennessee would have wrote the check. All right, cool. Like, all right, that's fine. Like, whatever. But I think at the same time, you know, it's a gamble. It is a gamble. And when you don't sign a player, you have to realize, okay, are we good? Like in Tennessee's case, are we good with Merklinger being the guy? Because George McIntyre's got to put on 20 pounds, and he's still a young kid, and he is not ready to play in the SEC. He's not Bryce Underwood or anything like that. Not a shot at McIntyre. He would probably say that to your face if you asked him and put him to a lie detector. But at the same time, you run that risk, because here's what happens, Mike. Tennessee comes out against Syracuse to open the season, who's ever at quarterback. If it's like Merklinger, they don't go out and get a starting quarterback. Okay, he goes out there and throws for 2 interceptions and a 175 through the air. Whatever school Nico's at, he goes out and throws for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. You're like, oh, shit, wait a minute. Okay, then you're going to have fans be like, oh, was it worth it? Should we have written that check, you know, to pay him? So I think that kind of goes back to your point that you were making, where it's a tough decision, but the market is where it is.
Right, and then how big of a problem is the father, where I didn't even realize this, Trey, because I didn't follow his brother's recruitment or anything like that. Once I knew he likely wasn't headed, well, he did end up in the SEC, but it didn't look like he was. He's committed to UCLA, and maybe even, I don't know the timeline, but he starts his senior year, and he transfers after three games in high school, which is it's pretty wild. And then he's ruled ineligible.
Pretty bold.
Ruled ineligible, so he didn't even get to play his most of his senior year. And then, you know, I knew he had signed at Arkansas. If you go back and listen to Sam Pittman talk about it, I mean, it was one of these deals where Sam Pittman was having surgery, and I think they had called him either immediately after surgery or right before, and they said, "Hey, this guy wants to come. Can we take him?" And he's like, "All right, sure, whatever." But literally, they never set
whoop it, man. All right,
they never set foot in the state of Arkansas, and he signs with them. So again, that all this is the same guy we're dealing with here. And I think another layer that guys like you and I can't relate to this. We just can't. But in that culture, the father, you do what they say. And I heard someone say, you know, just look back at Tua and his brother, and their father was calling the shots. They did whatever the hell the father wanted, and his brother, it was a saga there too. But, putting that all together, I mean, he is clearly the one, it seems like, is the mastermind behind all this.
I mean, I remember back to the Tua days where his younger brother showed up in Knoxville. They wanted to act like he was showing up to watch Tua play, but he was really there on a secret visit to Tennessee. So the father was trying to play the situation where Tennessee might have interest, and then to potentially, you know, get a better offer. You know, back then it was duffel bags and hotel parking lots.
And he did the same thing, if you remember, with Tua with LSU. He had him come out. I think it was like Alabama, LSU. He had him come visit LSU.
Yes. So what I'm getting is, like, you were exactly right. Like, I mean, you know, dads call the shots in this territory, in these families. And that's why I would hope Tennessee fans look at Nico, and I get what it looks like at the top. I understand what it looks like on paper. But if you dig a little bit behind the scenes, you have to think about it this way. Nico was hanging out with his OC on Thursday night, having dinner. It was the quarterback wrap-up dinner that, you know, for spring practice. He had McIntyre, Merklinger over there. He was sitting around. It was taco night. He was playing with his OC's kids and having a good night. And then all of a sudden, Mike, 8 hours later, he's not at practice. He's not answering the phone. You got folks at Tennessee kind of worried about his safety. So they're thinking, do we need to get, you know, somebody sent over to his house to make sure he's okay? Josh Heupel comes off the practice field Friday morning, and he has one of his guys say, "Hey, we still can't get in touch with him." So right then, Tennessee was ready to cut it. If Tennessee's athletic department, let me be clear about this. If the athletic department had their way, Nico would have been dismissed on Friday. They'd release some kind of statement, blah, blah, blah. But they also knew that there was going to be a press conference opportunity the next day. So why not wait till then? And when Nico didn't get back to anybody until late Friday night, when he called Joey Halsey, and pretty much, and they had a conversation, but the gist of it was, "Hey, I'm submitting my paperwork. I'm gone to the portal." And this is when he had gone all day. He doesn't make that decision. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are or what you have to say. He does not make that decision to not call anybody, his teammates, a therapist, a staff member at Tennessee, the coach. Like, I know that would be intimidating to call Heupel. I get it, whatnot. That'd be a weird, not even his OC doesn't return to. Can't tell me now all that was on Nico, a 20-year-old that has had a relationship with his OC and the head coach for 2.5 to 3 years. That was his dad saying, "Hey, buddy, turn your phone off. Don't talk to anybody. Don't answer any calls. We'll tell you when to do it." And in that culture, you do what your father says. And a lot of people, Mike, would be like, "Well, you know what? He's 20 years old. He can make decisions on his own." No, 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 no. Not when you had helicopter parents like him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be cruel in any way to Big Nick, but he had some bad folks in his ear telling him what to do. And if we want to lump in his so-called handler, Landers, with him, have at it, because that man was also profiting off Nico's recruitment. He was flying around on private jets and coming with Nico wherever, you know, where he came to Knoxville in high school for a 7-on-7 game where he's out there in pajamas. What I'm getting at is that there were people at Tennessee that kind of knew something was up because his father had not been around all spring. I was told Nico actually had a really good spring because he, and again, I don't know how this is going to come across, but I don't mean it in a mean way, but he didn't have his dad overlooking, you know, everything that he did, because in the past, like last year, he was at practices all the time. So now he's not there. And whether that's he's in Fayetteville watching the younger brother, the younger kid, or, you know, out in college, whatever, so be it. But you don't make those decisions without your father telling you not to do it. And I think that's where there should be a little bit of empathy for Nico, just a little bit. But at the same time, understanding that, you know what, he's got to be an adult and make business decisions when he's getting paid this mm-hmm. amount of money.
And you also wrote something for OutKick. I'll put a link in the description. But, you know, everybody's calling this, the first holdout, first holdout in college football. Why is this not a holdout?
It's not a holdout because it didn't last long enough to be a holdout. Like that, like, I'm sorry, you leave your OZ's house at 10 o'clock at night. You don't show up for at the training table at 6 a.m., that's 8 hours. That's not a holdout. You don't have somebody over a barrel in 8 hours. I'm sorry. Like, you know, and then that's why it's not a holdout, in my opinion. And even Josh Heupel knew when he didn't show up for practice Friday morning, Heupel knew that he was already gone. Like, it was a wrap. It was over. Like, Heupel didn't need anything else. When he wasn't there an hour before practice or however long, Heupel knew this was it. He's no longer going to be the quarterback of Tennessee. Sure, Heupel was upset, I'm sure, but at the end of the day, it's a business. He's not putting up with any shit. I don't care how long somebody's been there. And so that's why it's not a holdout here. You've seen the NFL and Major League Baseball and all this stuff. Like, these guys won't show up to OTAs for 30 days or whatever and not be around. That's a holdout. This was, you know, got a family that's full of drama, and then I think it was the dad that came out to like CBS or something and said, well, the reason it didn't show is because he needed to take a breather because of all the social media backlash. What? I'm sorry, it was your dumbass fault for putting on social media and calling Pete Nakos a bitch. I don't know if this is a PG podcast.
He called him a bitch.
He called him a bitch and said that, you know, and then he tried to out a source that he put on there by saying how he put his life on this staff. Or what you going after Pete for? Like, what? Pete's reporting the news that we knew, but Pete's putting it out to the public, and he had good enough sources that he was ready to go with it and whatnot and have at it. Like, that's great. But you made yourself look stupid by calling him a bitch. And then he had his handler come on there and also mm-hmm. attack on three. What I'm saying is, if there was something else going on, explain it. Don't go on a tweet. You know, when I call you three times and would like a statement, give me a statement of what happened then. Like, don't go on social media and make your kid look stupid, because that's what it was. Because at the end of the day, this was a contract situation. And now I know what's about to happen too. You're going to have that side come out and say, well, you know, we didn't really trust Heupel. We didn't really think that he put the right people around us to succeed. We felt betrayed by Tennessee that they would put something out there thinking that, you know, Pete Nakos got it from the Tennessee side. When, by the way, folks out there, everybody was talking about this. I was talking to agents last week that knew about this that were in the frickin' Northwest. Like, people knew about the Nico situation at Tennessee and the money. So what I'm getting at is that, full circle, you listen to your dad that much, and then at the same time, brother, you make a bad decision, and now you're in a spot where you're going to have to explain yourself. And that's the biggest thing. Wherever he ends up, Mike, like, you know, this dude, like, there are going to be some tough questions. And I promise you, it won't just be the folks that are on the local beat that show up to wherever he lands to ask some questions. I'll hop on a plane wherever he goes. If it's Tulane or UCLA or whatnot, Washington or Jed Fish, I'll hop on a plane because there's questions that need to be answered. And we'll see if he is, you know, grown up enough during this process to answer those.
Do you think Tennessee made the right call short-term and long-term? Because I don't think Heupel's popularity has ever been higher on Rocky Top than it is today. Yeah. That's going to change in a damn hurry if they drop, you know, the first game to Syracuse.
But you get beat by Fran Brown. You got problems.
But and long term, of course, they've got, for anybody that doesn't know, they got a commitment. Who knows? I don't even,
yeah,
you know, commitment means nothing these days, but they do have a commitment from a 26 quarterback, Brandon Faison, that by all accounts, he's just as talented as Nico, if not more. You know, if you give in to shit like this, what's to stop him from doing this every year as well? So what's your whole thoughts on did Tennessee, do you think they made the right call?
I hate to like push it off down the road, but I don't think we're going to know until four games into next year, you know, and that's in it's also who they decide to go after in the transfer portal. I was told a reason why Tennessee did not heavily pursue my South Alabama Jaguars quarterback, Gio Lopez, those bastards that got to him and took my quarterback away from my alma mater. But I was told one of the reasons why they go after him is because he had multiple years of eligibility. Tennessee doesn't need a guy that has 3 years of eligibility. They need a guy that really has like one, maybe two, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Because they've made promises. You got McIntyre there. You got Faison. It's supposed to be there. We'll see if LSU drops the bag, which I think they are. And so does it play out? And I think that's what Tennessee's looking for. You know, so to answer your question, like it all depends, because if Josh goes out and steals a starting quarterback from another team, he's going to get the same criticism, you know, and you got to be able to handle that. But at the same time, if you make the right call and you think you got a guy that can come in the room and potentially be that guy, but still fight with it with Merklinger, because I think McIntyre still has some time to go. Then maybe you made the right choice. But it's like I think I wrote this in my article yesterday. I don't know. I got another one coming out, you know, on Wednesday. It all runs together now. But would you have rather taken, Mike, and this will go back to you too, like, love your opinion on this. So would you, when making this decision about Nico, would you have rather had 5 months of bad press? I don't know if bad press is the right word to use. Like 5 months of bad press. Okay, you don't have a starting quarterback. What is going to happen? You know, you decided not to sign Nico. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I don't know if you can even call it bad press, because right now Tennessee, all they're doing is getting good press. But or would you have signed him to this new contract and then had to deal with it for a year and a half? And what if Nico comes out third week of the season next year, or even first week of the season, and throws two interceptions and they lose to Syracuse, and you're looking at the season like, oh shit, like this is not going to go good. So it's a gamble. And so I don't know who's going to be right. I just know that the advice and how this transpired did not go well, because you know why? They could have done this shit on Sunday. They could have sat down. They could have got through spring, sat down on Sunday and Monday. Okay. Just have a meeting. If it goes 2 days, it goes 2 days. And if you can't come up with a deal that suits everybody, move on, go enter the portal, do what you have to do. Okay. Handshake, blah, blah, blah. But you burned so many bridges by how you did it, you know, that's what hurts you. And that's why you've got other teams that are like, I don't know if I want to deal with this drama. There's a lot of drama. Like, there's a lot of money, but it's a lot of drama. And then you got NFL teams. I was talking with an NFL coach yesterday, high assistant coach. And I said, okay, what's going to be the thing about Nico when he declares for the draft? And he told me the first thing that Nico is going to be asked, whether that's at the Senior Bowl meetings, whether that's at the combine, whether that's at pro workouts, whatever. What happened on April 11, 2025 on that Friday when you decided to skip practice? Explain that to me. Explain it to me, because we know what happened, but we want to hear you say it to us. So what I'm getting at, a lot more ramifications out of this, I think, from Nico's side than there is Tennessee's side. Because, you know, well, Tennessee loses four games next year. Okay, all right. Like, really, where's the hit? You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to still make process, but it's kind of like a transition year. So, you know, it you're rolling the dice, brother. And I'm curious to see who comes out with a winner.
Right. I think I would have paid him, Trey, for it, especially if they could have kept it quiet.
Yes.
Which who knows if they could.
Yes.
But just given the fact that the offensive line is in massive transition, receiving corps in transition, you lost your star running back.
Right.
I mean, he was going to be the focal point of the offense. You're building towards him.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say, you know, he's not a scrub. He's be getting laid out as, well, his statistics are pathetic. Well, because they had an elite defense, because they had an elite running back, you know, you can't have it all. But
correct.
I think obviously they're going to struggle without him. But I think you go all in with him, you wash your hands of it, and you move on to the next quarterback. But again, easier said than done.
It's a tough call. I mean, you know what it is? Like, you got to make a really, really bold decision. And so, but at the end of the day, you also have to look at everything that goes into this, brother, and the fact that, you know, here's my personal opinion on how this all transpired, and I kind of said it a little bit before. I think Nico's side was going to get through spring practice and then dip out on Tennessee. I got a feeling about this. I've talked to some folks. There was some stuff that was kind of off during spring practice a little bit. Not something that would sound the alarms or anything, but here's how I'll put it. There was always question marks within the offensive staff and the coaching staff meeting rooms. There are always little whispers. Man, is this kid going to be around after spring practice? Like, we've heard some things. Obviously, some coaches have reached out. Is he going to be around? So I think that's also something that didn't help the situation also. And now, you know, looking at it, what, 4 days later, you're like, huh, okay, like, this makes sense. Like, I get it now. It was just handled in the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. Last thing for you, Trey, I don't know if you've heard it. I believe you did. You were on three-man front, I think. But Cole Kublik and McElroy, they've got a show on Jocks too. But
yeah,
Cole Kublik's been very open now with the fact that you know, Nico was supposed to come to some TV production meeting and he just blew him off.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the world? No, but he basically said that's kind of unheard of. And the fact that everything I just said, you know, I would have went all in on Nico, and what you just said, you know, there was whispers. Is this guy a leader? Can he be counted on? Clearly, given the last week, I think you could question that. And I know you know this, that the locker room was pretty pissed and they're ready to, I think they were done with Nico. Is there a chance that Tennessee is better this season without Nico? Because again, had they went all in, had they met all the demands, you know, that it may have crushed them. I mean,
yes.
It's fair to highlight that Arkansas, I mean, everybody's playing it now. This will be Nico's legacy, running out of damn bounds with the game on the line. I don't know if he was mentally. I think physically, I think he's potentially as gifted as any quarterback out there. But mentally, would he have been strong enough to handle all that? I think that is very, very, very fair to question.
I think an overall winner's part of it. So he didn't. There were a couple. Okay, I'm not trying to like pounce on the kid or anything like that, but it wasn't like the first time there's been some complaint. Like, that team was pissed off on Friday. Like, and you want a point to prove that? They had two injured players that were speaking at the post-spring game press conference. Two injured players. I was told Miles Kitzelman, he was going to make a statement on Saturday. He was pissed. And he's not even practicing, Michael. Like, so there were a lot of upset players. And it's not like, I want to make this point clear too. It's not like they had a problem with Nico like beforehand or whatnot. I mean, sure, every team has problems with different players. Okay. I mean, obviously. All right. But there was never something that said, all right, he's got to go. Like, this is the last straw type of shit. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Did he miss out on some NIL events? Okay. Yeah. But, you know, you got players across the country that are showing up at Boys and Girls Club events, doing hammering for 10 minutes for a picture shoot, and then they're leaving, and that's their obligation to the NIL. Like, let's not act like that stuff's a big deal, okay? And then, you know, were there some meetings, team meetings that he was, like, not team meetings, but, like, individual meetings that he was late to? Sure. That's college. I get it. But at the same time, not showing up for a production meeting, like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, all right, that's kind of rude. That's rude. You know, like, don't do something like that. You know what I mean? But I say that to say this, is that, you know, should that define a kid's character? No, I don't think so. Maybe a blip in what the hell are you doing type of deal in the mindset. I think Tennessee overall, I think they'd have been fine with Nico next year, but there was always going to be questions about how all in was he. And, you know, and that's something that when you're a coach and when you're Josh Heupel and when you're known for the offense, besides last year where they had a really good defense, and I think they're getting better defensively overall as a program, I think it was going to hang around for a while. Like, I know for a fact that if Nico would have, like, released some kind of statement on Friday and apologized and maybe held a press gathering and talked, whatever, Nico was going to be thrown up there post-game spring practice. Even if he had showed up Friday morning for practice, he was going to get up there on Saturday. He was going to have to answer questions. And you're in an eight day and eight. We're in this age now, brother, where if you're getting paid 2.4, I don't care, 3 million, 4 million, you're going to have to answer some questions now. And they're not going to be softballs from the local media. You know what I mean? Like, local media is going to ask you the tough stuff. So, and he was going to go to SEC Media Days and represent Tennessee. So, you know how media days are. Everybody and their mother is there. So he's going to be asked questions like crazy about, hey, what went down? What's this contract negotiation shit? Like, what? Talk me through that. It's just the new era that we're in. So, to kind of come full circle on this thing, like, I think PR-wise, Tennessee won this round, but come August 30th or 31st, whenever that game is in Atlanta, we're going to find out if Tennessee was the true winner in this situation and if they should have just sucked it up, called one of the big boosters and said, hey, look, we're being held over a barrel with a gun. We got a knife. We can't get out of this. So we're going to have to write him a check. I think it comes down to next season. So, you know, and I would expect more news about the Nico saga and everything to continue coming out over the next couple of weeks and especially wherever he ends up next. And a lot of people are forgetting, too, like this West Coast thing, does he not realize he wasn't paying state income taxes in the state of Tennessee? Like, he was getting paid a shitload of money, and now he's got to go to California if that's where he ends up. It could be at other places. I'm just saying, if he went to California, well, shit, you got to pay him 3.7 just to offset the taxes that he's having to pay there compared to what he made at Tennessee. So
he's keeping a P.O. box in Knoxville. He must. Yeah.
All of his vehicles are going to be registered in Tennessee, in some county. It don't matter. We know how the game works. It's all good. Somebody's going to be living in that house in Knoxville for 6 months out of the year to make sure he gets residency still.
No doubt. Trey, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you, how to find your work, and plug? You just launched a YouTube channel too.
Yeah, man, just having fun with some YouTube stuff, just behind the scenes type of deal. Just wanted to take folks behind the scenes, have some fun with it. You know, that was my biggest thing. So we'll see where this goes in the future. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, at @TreyWallace_. Follow all my work at outkick.com, and a lot of fun things coming. Before you know it, spring meetings will be here. And you know what? The transfer portal is here. We got 10 days of transfer portal, so expect some wildness out of this. So always appreciate you having me, brother.
Absolutely.